Check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
On this edition of the Nasty Cast, we welcome Nando DeFino from the Fantasy Sports Network. He helps us preview the shortstop position for 2017, looking at targets, avoids, deep sleepers, and player values in ADP wars.
Fantasy jousting?
Joe left me mid sashimi.
I got live breaking news.
There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. With hashtag Shark Week.
Do you actually balance your checkbook?
But he hasn't had a chance to suck yet.
I want somebody with some chest hair I can grip onto.
What are his weapons?
Shut up and talk.
Those boards don't work on water.
I'm the destroyer of burritos.
Be sure to cut all that out, Jesse.
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things.
This isn't a joke.
Eating ain't cheating.
Hello and welcome into episode 104 of the NastyCast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by Dots Pretzels. I am Nathan Dokken. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dokken, and I am joined today, as occasionally normal, by a man who puts the screw into screwdriver. And by that I mean put booze into orange juice, Joe Osachi.
Boy, I don't even remember the last time I had a screwdriver. I'd say when I was like 16.
Yeah, it's pretty basic mixed drink stuff right there. That's all you need is a bottle of vodka and some OJ.
Yeah, that's
entry level stuff.
I don't really think I can even drink vodka anymore at this point. It's that's one that's on my do not drink list for the most part. But why worry about me, Nathan? We've got more important people to introduce here.
That's true. We have with us today perhaps a man who prefers gin and juice. Because he was once a member of NWA, but is now just a member of the Fantasy Network. He is joining us today. Nando DeFino, welcome to the NastyCast.
Thank you very much for having me.
It is a pleasure. Of course, the NWA reference comes from the old CBS podcast we used to enjoy with you and your buddy Adam Azer. Those are classic, man. And also, I listened to you. I'll give you a plug right off the show. Al's very first installment of the FanRag sports on the Fantasy Network there, featuring yourself and Adam Azer. That was awesome. I listened to that today, and it was just I laughed the whole time. It was just a glorious trip down memory lane because I do miss those shows.
Yeah, man, those were the best. And, like, when Al said he wanted to do the show, I'm like, listen, dude, you're going to be in New York anyway. I'll just get Azer to come down. Let's do it. And Azer bailed on us, but he still called in, I guess.
Yeah.
It's worth something.
Couldn't take the trade. Yeah.
Really? It's the easiest thing in the world to do.
Right? Yeah. Not here in North Dakota. We're in chilly, brisk Bismarck, North Dakota. Not a lot of that going on here. If you don't have a car, you're pretty much screwed.
Well, down in these parts, the easiest thing in the world to do. So much easier than... Yeah, anyway, I don't want to knock Azer. He called in. He's a good dude.
Yeah, no, we're both big fans of Adam Azer. We've been listening to CBS podcast for a long time. It was one of our first ones, even before, it sort of inspired us to do this show a couple years later. But what do you drink, Nando? What is your drink of choice if you're out on the town?
I'm a vodka. I'm a vodka person.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, geez, now I offended you.
No, I'm out of here.
Damn it.
No, vodka with, you know, some club soda, I'm happy. I'm good.
Nice.
I think I'm not really but I drank a lot of vodka in my younger days when I was, like, you know, probably not even of legal drinking age, and I just can't do it anymore.
There's one thing that does that for me. It's this drink called Tropico. We had it when I was in college, and we would drink it a lot. I don't know why. I don't know what made us do it. I guess because it was already mixed. It was just like I think it was rum and some kind of orange. Anyway, one night, went past the limit on it, and just even when I think about it, it kind of cringe.
Yeah. See, that's for me, it's weird because I've probably drank vodka since I was, you know, 14 years old, which is not the greatest thing to say. But anyway, that's the truth living in North Dakota. But I have got sick off vodka so many times, and I still can go back to the well on it. I don't know why. But I've recently discovered a love for gin, so that is my new drink of choice.
Never really got into it, but...
Yeah, it's definitely different. But I like to... I made up my own drink called Pootie Tang, which is just Tang, the mix, you know, the powdered drink mixed with some gin. And a little triple sec. It's high class.
That's dangerous.
It would make Snoop Dogg proud, I think.
I think so. That's what I mean, life goals. That's what I really try to do every day. So what are your life goals? Tweet us at Fantasy Amateurs on Twitter, or you can email us, thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com. You can also go to thefantasyamateurs.com if you want a Nasty Cast t-shirt. Please do that. And by the way, we are still sponsored by Dots Pretzels, and we got a whole buttload of pretzels that we need to ship out.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
And if you want some free ones, all you have to do is rate and review the podcast on iTunes, give us 5 stars, and also we'll send you a bag for free if you order yourself a t-shirt. And don't forget to retweet the show link on Twitter to qualify yourself for our free drawing for even more pretzels. Seriously, you can win like 3 bags a week if you're awesome. So, and it is also that time of year again. We are going to start taking entries for the 2017 NastyCast Podcast League. And the only way into that is to have yourself in a review on iTunes and then just email it to us, take a screenshot or whatever so we know it's you. That is your key to get in. It's going to be first come, first serve. So I would recommend pausing the podcast right this very second, leaving us a review, and then emailing us so that you can get your foot in the door. And also on that, we're going to go, I think, with the same rule that we had last year, and that none of the previous entrants can entry again. That sounds
I think we slipped up last year and somebody got in twice, but oh well.
There was one guy that snuck in. I would speak ill of him, but his name was also Nate, so I can't really do that.
That bastard.
Yeah,
I don't know how we didn't notice that, but anyway.
No, it's not like it was a 30-team league or anything. So yeah, anyway, look out for that. And I guess with that, that's pretty much all the housekeeping we've got. So we're going to get into our first segment. We're talking shortstop today. Let's get into some ADP wars. All right, what we're going to do here is we take fantasypros.com average draft position. We're going to take two similarly grouped shortstops and pit them against each other in a battle to the death. Well, okay, maybe that's a little extreme. But who would you rather draft between these two guys? I suppose it would be more appropriate. This isn't a death match. So we're going to start off with similarly priced Corey Seager, whose average draft position is currently 19. He's going to be facing off against Carlos Correa, whose ADP is just a hair behind him, 19.3. Of course, that'll move a little bit back and forth. But between these two stars, Nando, we'll start off with you. Who would you prefer?
I guess I'm going to be the only – maybe I'm not the only one here, but I think Carlos Correa has the kind of – I guess the chance to be like a video game type player. I think Corey Seager has ceiling that's not as exciting as Correa's, and I just like to chase crazy ceiling. So I would go with Correa. If I was looking at this and both of them were in front of me, I would go with Carlos Correa. I think he can go nuts where Corey Seager can be excellent, but won't have like those crazy historic numbers that Correa could put up.
Joe, do you have a different opinion?
I do not. I was actually going to say kind of the same thing. It's Seager. Say, I mean, for a 22-year-old, we're going to say he's got a good floor, but I think he does. But you know, he's not going to steal bases. Correa ran actually less than he did in his rookie season last year, but he's still going to get you double digit, maybe 15 steals. And I agree with Nando. There's the chance. It probably won't happen, but there's a chance that Correa goes out and goes 30-20 or 35-20 and has just a monster season and is like the number 2 overall pick next year. And actually, like for where he's going, you know, he's about whatever 10-15 picks later or 10 picks later probably than he went last year. So I like his price a decent amount. The chance that you take him there and you could win your league. And Seager safe, but I don't think he has anywhere near that kind of upside because he's not going to steal.
Yeah, you're getting that whole extra category from Correa So for me, I mean, we're going to sweep it. It's going to be Correa for me, too. I think that he's a pretty sweet bargain at this price, you know, like you said, compared to last year. I mean, Corey Seager, it's not like he's a slouch by any means. Yeah, he's justifying a draft position somewhere this high, just a shade under a 40% hard contact rate last year, which is 14th best in all of baseball. So if you combine that with a 24% line drive rate, you can sort of support that 355 BABIP that he posted last year. You don't have to look at a ton of regression there. So I think he could actually push 30 home runs with a higher home run per fly ball. Last year is 18%. You can see that rising a little bit with a near 40% hard contact rate. And if he pulls a few more balls too, then that becomes a little bit more likely. Only pulled 37% of his balls last year. So I do like Seager.
You know, that sounded really inappropriate.
Come on, Joe.
Just for the record, like, yeah. I could have let it go, but...
You should have been like Elsa. I mean, no. Now you got me thinking about that 50 Shades of Grey sequel. My wife had me watch that first one the other day, and... kind of weird. I mean,
what the hell really is wrong with you? It's not really a couples viewing kind of thing, is it?
What's that?
It's not really a couples night kind of movie.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Why did you volunteer for that?
She sucked me in, man. Like, every once in a while, you got to sort of just, you know, not put up a fight, you know, pick your battles, so to speak, in the marriage. I'm going on 5 years of marriage now, which is crazy to think about. But, yeah, not really my bag, but I don't know. There's some interesting scenes in there, and now she's going to try to force me to go to that sequel. So I don't know. Did you see that one, Joe?
Of course not.
I thought maybe your wife would have sucked you into it.
No. She didn't see it either. I think she read the book, but no, we never did see either of those, and I don't plan on it.
There's a lot weirder stuff in that book. We were over at Nando, our producer, Jesse, who's not present, but his wife has the book, and we were over at his place one time, and she showed us just one page, and there was some wacky stuff in there. I don't even want to say it on the podcast, to be perfectly honest. It was
now. Let's be classy here, Nate.
Yeah, we're not gonna pull our balls anymore. We're gonna move on. So let's see. What's our next one? Jonathan VR at ADP 32 against Francisco Lindor, the Truffle. At 32.3. So, Joe, we'll start off with you here. What do you got here?
To me, I think it's got to be VR, and I don't really think it's all that close. And when I look at the Yahoo actual specific ADP, Lindor's like 17 picks higher. And I understand, like, Lindor's a good player, and I think he has a really safe floor. Like, he's probably, you know, like, he's not going to kill you. There's really no chance. And you could maybe view VR as being a little bit of a fluke, but I don't think there's any way that he was, you know, I mean, that was, you know, Lindor last year, 15 homers, 19 steals. I mean, VR had 62 steals last year, so how much are you saying he's going to regress, that Lindor is going to be better than him? I just don't see it, I guess. So I think VR has just so much more upside, and really the best thing that Lindor's given you is like batting average and a nice solid floor.
Yeah.
I've always hated Lindor, as you know.
Well, yes, of course. Joe, Nando, you wouldn't know this, but Joe has gone on record before as saying that Francisco Lindor will be irrelevant in fantasy.
Oh, wow.
Solid. I think I said that when he was, like, in double A, so it's really not fair. But
yeah. That's never miss a chance to give you a shot on that one. But, yeah. I mean,
it's only his second year, right? There's still time.
Yeah, there's still time to suck.
It's a long play, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be irrelevant one day. He might, maybe when he retires, but still.
Well, he also did give us the nickname the Truffle, which I don't think anybody else calls him that except for me, because I enjoy Lindor truffles. But anyway, as far as floor goes, I mean, sure, Lindor has a great floor, but I think as far as steals go, VR has a huge floor too. You know, it is an absolute floor, I think, is 35 steals, and I think he could steal upwards of 60. So that for me is the huge separator between these two. I love VR this year, just like I did last year. He was one of my best calls of 2016. And Lindor, you know, obviously great at getting on base, going to score probably about 100 runs, 356 career OBP through 1,122 plate appearances. So really solid, a little bit of power, a little bit of steals. But VR, I don't think that the power is necessarily going to regress a ton. 19.6 home run per fly ball. So, I mean, you will scale it back, in my opinion. Only hit 24% fly balls, so you don't have a huge chance of hitting a ton of homers that way. But he did have a really high hard contact rate of 35%. So I think that with his speed and with his hard contact, that's 373 BABIP that he posted last year won't come down that much. I think he could keep a BABIP around 340, maybe even 350. So and a great chase rate as well. Only a 24% chase rate, 21st best in Major League Baseball. So he's got really good plate discipline too, despite a high strikeout rate. So he'll continue to walk at a double digit rate, in my opinion, and definitely be worth a second round draft pick. But Nando, what do you think? Are you going to sweep it or are you going Lindor?
No, I'm going to go with the sweep. I look at VR and I see Jose Altuve. Like, even if you look at his minor league stats, Altuve kind of spiked a little bit with some power there in the middle of it all. And I think VR did the same thing. He just, last couple of years, been thrown around different positions, different teams. I mean, this guy, he's still a guy who can play the outfield if need be, so he's going to stay in that lineup. With the steals, you're right. With the steals, the average is going to be good. And I do think the power is going to stay where it is. Maybe even he'll mature a little bit and poke another couple out. But it's again, Lindor to me is kind of perfectly grouped with Seager in that they're going to be good and they're going to be serviceable. But if you want to go for kind of like the blow-up candidate, for me, it's VR.
Yeah, and that ballpark in Milwaukee, that's going to help a lot too for the power. That's just such a strong hitter's park. That'll help him get a couple cheapies in the seats, I think.
Yeah, I guess I am going. We're going ballparks there. We've gone Milwaukee and Houston against Cleveland and LA.
Yeah, that's true. And even as a tiebreaker, I think that's a good way to help you lean.
Yeah, I mean, indeed. Like, I think everybody, like last year, he was probably like a top 10 overall player. So I mean, even if he you don't have to pay that kind of price for him. So even if he isn't as good as last season, he's not getting drafted as a top 10 player. So he doesn't have to be. So even if he's a little worse than he was last year, I think he still could be worth the price if he's going in the second or third round.
I can't believe he leapt up that high. To be honest, man, I thought, like, I understand the Yahoo ADP being low. I didn't think VR was going to get ahead of, like, Bogart, Story, Troy Tulowitzki. Like, I didn't think that people were going to buy into him, and they are, which kind of sucks for people who like him.
If you wanted him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you're drafting him off of just his numbers from last year, he should be a first rounder easily, So I think people are baking in a little bit of aggression. And a lot of people are also pointed at 373 BABIP and like, ugh. He's a 200 hitter. You can't just do that. You got to look at the quality of contact that he's making and take a lot of other variables, into consideration. But let's go to our last ADP award. That's going to be the much maligned by myself, Elvis Andrews, at pick 158. We're really dropping down the ADP here for this one. He's going to be facing off against Brad Miller. So I will start this one off. Elvis Andrews, I lost a bet on him. I bet him against stupid Kettle Marte, who got hurt and didn't do a thing last year and ended up having to ship a box of Crunch Berries to Chris McBrien off to Canada, which that was a struggle. Oh, my God. International shipping is a screw job. But anyway, I suppose that's beside the point. With Andrews, you pretty much know what you're going to get with him, which is both a positive and a negative, depending on how you look at it. You can pretty much bank on 25 steals, but I don't think he'll hit 300 again. BABIP was 20 points higher than his career mark, and there's pretty much no change in his batted ball profile. And then you have Brad Miller, who really sort of exploded. He was one of my pet players for many years, and finally he exploded after I basically gave up on him, which is always what seems to happen. He had a 35% career high hard contact rate. He basically adjusted his swing to hit for power, and he really did that. So I think you're basically looking at sort of power versus speed with Swan. So it sort of depends on team construction for me. But, at this point, you're sort of in the middle rounds of your drafts, so you can kind of judge that way. But steals are harder to come by at this, at this point. So I think I would lean Andrews. And also that stability, especially if you're in a deeper league, you know what you're going to get from a guy. That's a plus, in that scenario too. But he's also not a guy who's going to see Jonathan VR last year. So, Nando, what say you?
This is more about, I got to go back to Profar. I think he's going to get traded. which frees up Andrews to not have to have that worry attached to him that he's not going to get all the playing time. If that doesn't happen, I like Andrews even less. But I've got to go Brad Miller here. I think the power was real. I don't think he's going to build on it, though. I can see it going down by a couple of homers. But Andrews, to me, is, you know, just, he's getting older. I know he's not old yet. That lineup's great. But I don't know, man. There's something about Brad Miller that I think there's just he's got a little bit more to show. So I would stick with him. Just worry about Profar. Worry about just a bunch of other players kind of messing up Andrews' playing time versus Brad Miller having been the top prospect. Everyone loved him when he was coming up with Seattle. And I think what he showed last year was for real. It was kind of like a Brian Dozier step up. So I'm going to stick with Miller here. Just several factors. I'm a little more wishy-washy on this one than the rest. But, yeah, it's Brad Miller for me.
Nice. All right. Joe, break the tie.
Oh, it's always fun to be the tiebreaker. You know, when I looked at this one the first time, I was just saw the name Elvis Andrews first, and I just assumed I would pick whoever the other guy was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just Elvis Andrews, so boring. I mean, he's always like he's kind of like your fallback option at shortstop all the time. Like, oh, I guess we'll take Andrews here. I don't know. I don't like anybody else. And I've done that several times. But anyway, he's put up virtually like the same season the past two years. So I feel like you just know exactly what you're going to get out of the guy. Like his last 2 years were just like carbon copies. Whereas I just have this, I have the memory of 2014 in my head with Brad Miller when he hit, you know, 220 and had 10 home runs and just killed everybody that drafted him that year. And I mean, he was great last year. He hit a lot of home runs. I always worry about Rays players in platoons. I mean, so, you know, like you said, you're worried about the playing time with Andrews, Donando, but then I always worry about Rays players getting. I mean, he played 152 games last year, so I mean, maybe that's not a legit worry, but that's always something I think about. And I would just rather take the safety of Andrews because I just feel like I know exactly what he's going to do. I just don't really have a good feel for what Miller's going to do.
I think that is a good point on the platoon because I think ideally the Rays will sit him against every lefty because he's just terrible against lefties. Let's see what his weighted on base last year. 300. I guess that's not as bad as I had thought. Not as bad as it was in previous years. And I will say, I should sort of qualify. It's not like I hate Brad Miller. He's actually one of my favorite players. And I actually have him ranked above Elvis Andrews right now. They're back-to-back. But odds are, I think, when I'm drafting, I'll just take Andrews for the steals. But I do think that Miller's power is for real.
You're torn, Nate.
I am. I'm like Natalie Imbruglia.
Exactly.
That's what I've always said about. You even have similar names, Natalie Imbruglia.
Yeah, you could hardly tell us apart. I was wondering why I was lying naked on the floor. Now I know. It was fate.
Well, you have a lot of knowledge on that song, boy. You got right off the top of your head.
It's a catchy tune, Joe.
I did. Yeah, I haven't heard it in a long time, but we're going to have to put that as the outro music to the song now.
It's a podcast, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Quick, Nando, what's your favorite song?
Ever?
Ever.
Ghostbusters theme song?
Great answer.
That is the perfect answer. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with our targets.
It's that time again. That's right. It's fantasy baseball season, and the Fantasy Black Book is back and better than ever. This is Joe Pisapia, author of the 9-time best-selling Fantasy Black Book series, number one right now on Amazon, on iTunes, and for the first time ever, the Fantasy Baseball Black Book can be held in your hand. Yes, what a beautiful world we live in. Head over to Amazon and buy your hard copy as well today. Baseball is coming. Are you ready?
I'm gonna make your heart explode.
All right, we have returned on the Nastiest of Casts, and we are going to target guys that we love at the shortstop position this year. We're going to start with you, Senor Defino. Well, I guess, I don't know, what's Senor in Italian? Is there a... What's
yeah, Mr.? Senor.
Is it?
Yeah, you got it. It's close enough.
Okay. All right, so yeah, we'll start with you. What target or targets are you looking at the shortstop position this year?
My biggest one, well... Like, Jed Jerko is in my target Hall of Fame.
But, I was going to mention him just because of you.
Yeah. Just let's not get into that one. but Marcus Semien, I think the last I saw is his NFBC ADP was sub 200, like above 200, however you want to call it. It was like 204. I don't get it. Like, I think he's going to hit for power. He's going to mix in some steals. That lineup's a little bit better. I don't understand why he's going so late, and he's probably going to have a lot of my teams. In auctions, I think Javier Baez, I'm going to outbid everybody for him. I don't buy all the projections I've seen. I think best one was RotoWire that had him at like 425 at-bats. I think he's going to get 500, and I think it's a pretty easy slam dunk for that. And this is a guy who hammered the ball in the minor leagues, plays a bunch of positions, has a bunch of eligibilities. So in auction, I go the extra dollar on Javier Baez. I think in drafts, I'm just going to maybe even hold off on shortstop and end up with Marcus Semien in the later rounds as my starter. Those are my two big ones.
Interesting. All right. Well, the first thing I'm going to say is that I actually was surprised to find that I would agree with you on Marcus Semien. As I was doing my rankings, I put him at, I think, 13. I have him here. And ADP, let's see right now. Oh, God.
He's 20th.
20th, yeah. So.
Huts.
Yeah, so I
and for Semien, like he's you said NFBC ADP, he's 202 and Yahoo right now, which is pretty early with that, but 351, so he's essentially undrafted.
That's absurd.
Yeah,
I can't believe that.
Yeah, so I'm with you on Semien. I don't necessarily know if he's going to hit 27 again, just because the ballpark is so ugly, but
he had an ugly ballpark last year, yeah.
Yeah, and I feels like to me there's another level with Semien. He had terrific plate discipline in the minor leagues, and I still expect that to balance out a little bit more. Maybe he's always going to strike out, 20% of the time, but maybe he could draw some more walks too and sprinkle in double-digit steals. Although, Javier Baez, I will say that I'm not quite as in on him, just because I don't necessarily know if the plate discipline is going to take the step forward that he needs to unlock that power, and get on base enough to steal a whole lot. So I would be a little more tepid on him than you are. The stat that I have, I put a key stat with all my rankings. The stat that I have on him is his chase rate, which is 42.9%, which is fifth worst in baseball. So he still struggles to, lay off the balls outside of the zone. But I think if he can do that, and I'm not saying that he never will by any means, I still like him in dynasty leagues, but until he can improve that, I'm not necessarily super high on him. But
that hurts. Bring me here to mock my choices with your statistics, then fine.
No, I mean that pick fits with what you said earlier, though. It's a home run pick. You're going with the guys with the huge upside, and he has that. So,
right.
Yeah. For me, do you have some more?
No, go ahead. I was going to say it's not like I'm not drafting him or anything. I have him 15th, but I'm just not like targeting him. So, go ahead, Joe.
Fair enough. I actually put down Correa as a target. I know we already talked about him, but I think it's a really good. I mean, it's not like it's a gigantic bargain compared to where he went last year, but he could easily be the number one shortstop, and he's not. He's going as the third shortstop if you include Machado. So, I'm going to try and take Correa in a lot of leagues if I can. If I have a pick around 20, that'll definitely be a guy that I'm looking to get. My other target is that I put down was Jose Peraza, who, depending on where you're drafting, Yahoo right now, he's going 276. If he really is a bargain like that, I would like to put him on a lot of my team for the speed upside, and he's one of those multi-position eligibility guys. He can be eligible at second, short, in the outfield, so I think you can slot him on. If he gets enough playing time in Cincinnati, I think he could steal a lot of bases.
Oh boy, Joe, we got a bet.
On what? I did. All I said is I like him.
And I don't.
And I also... Okay, well... You can go into that later on, but
sure.
Yeah, I did also put down Jed Jerko because, 25 homers out of your shortstop and you can get him pretty late. And I actually own him in our dynasty league, and so I'm pretty in on him this season.
Yeah, I had pretty much given up on him, unlike you guys who are both on the Jerko love train, wherever that's been around.
Well, I don't think I'm – nobody's on the Jerko train as much as Nando. He's the all-time Jed Jerko fan,
Yeah.
Well, it did look grim last year. It looked like he wasn't going to play. He was on a new team. They had all the infield spots kind of accounted for, and even kind of he might not have been the first backup. And then the magic happened.
Yeah, because I picked him up off the waiver wire in a 15 team dynasty league, and he probably hit 20 homers for me. Because it was almost all of his production came in the second half, and yeah, he was a monster down the stretch.
Yeah, and he was finally he was 1,000 plate appearances in, I think, against righties, and he was just garbage. So I was like, man, he's just a platoon guy. And then last year, he hit righties better than lefties. So, you know, the breakout was late, but it seemed to have happened. So I'm not necessarily saying that he's going to regress or anything. You know, it seems a batted ball profile. Everything seemed really nice. So
he was a hitter in the minors. Maybe all these hitting coaches in San Diego screwed him up a little bit. I don't know. But it seems like they turned the switch right back on.
Yeah, they screwed a lot of things up in San Diego recently.
That is true.
They're sure to get around. They've got a bunch of Dominicans now. So in 7 years, they'll be good. Moving on. Let's see. Did you have any others, Joe, or was he your guy?
Well, those three. Isn't that enough? How many you want for me?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot. All I could remember is just the terrible Jose Peraza pick.
Okay. You go on then. You're just mean to everybody tonight.
I'm on one tonight, man. I'm on my last beer. I got to run to the store. It's making me cranky. It's cold outside. I don't want to go outside. I got two guys listed here. None of them really actually, as far as targets go, I don't know. There wasn't any guy that really jumped right out at me and then pulled my balls. So I had to kind of scour a little bit. But I wound up with Tim Anderson. I like him a little bit more than his ADP. You know, just really fast. He's 221 overall is where he's going, the 19th shortstop. He only walked 13 times in 99 games last year with 117 strikeouts. So obviously the plate discipline is horrendous. But he's going to hit first or second in that lineup in Chicago. And, you know, he should steal more bases. I don't know why he can't push 30. I don't know why he didn't steal more last year. He didn't even attempt. I think he was like 10 for 12 last year. Really good efficiency and just didn't attempt a lot. So I expect that number to rise. He's got a lot of speed. Give you a little bit of power, too. And that speed should help keep his BABIP inflated, so that his upper 20s K rate won't hopefully destroy his batting average. Although 375 BABIP is a little bit much, but I do think that he will return a little bit of a profit on that investment. And then my other guy is Chris Owings. He also is going really late. 21 for 23 in stolen bases last year in 119 games. So I think with some more at-bats, he'll push 25, which those steals are, you know, pretty handy in this, you know, current climate of decreased stolen base production. So he's also good at shortstop or the outfield, kind of like Peraza, like you said, Joe. Not much power, not much on base, but, you know, 31st shortstop off the board, pick 360. I think he's a value there.
I hate him.
Yeah. I was waiting for the vitriol to come back to me.
No, that's fine. I actually looked at him for like the deep league sleeper guy, but I ended up finding someone I liked a little bit more. So I don't hate it.
Interesting. All right. Well, let us switch gears then and see who we hate. Nando, who are you not drafting this year?
I kind of did. I was digging around and looking, and I was going through it in my head. Like, would I pick him? Yes. Would I pick him? I think Lindor's a little too early for me. Diaz, I don't believe in. I think he played over his head last year. Eduardo Nunez, definitely, but I don't think that's kind of like a surprise for anybody.
Right.
there really aren't a lot of shortstops that I'm not going to go after. It's just kind of a, will they fall to me? Like Trevor Story, I like him where he's going. I would take Trevor Story. Segura, I believe Segura's going to be fine in Seattle. So I like it just went through every single guy. And the ones who stood out, I don't even really hate. I just, like, I wouldn't chase, maybe Bogarts, I wouldn't chase that early, Lindor and Diaz. And after that, I think everyone will kind of say the same thing. Like, yeah, I'll be skipping Eduardo Nunez too, thank you.
Yeah, we crapped all over Eduardo Nunez when we did third base, so we're on board with hating on him.
That podcast will be out sooner or later. Yeah, I actually agree with everything that you just said, Nando. So I hope that makes you feel better.
Thank you, man. Yeah, that's a thank you for the makeup call.
Okay, yeah, good. Geez. Yeah, no, I you know, when I do my rankings, the very first thing I do, I'm so excited to go to Fantasy Pros and see how my rankings stack up against where these guys are actually going, because I totally block everything out until I've done my rankings, and then so it's like, oh, I guess I'm high on this guy, I guess I'm low on this guy, and it was disappointing with doing this one, because like the top, you know, eight or so, like you said, with Story, Segura, you know, those guys are sort of where I have them, higher on VR, but. And we'll get to – I definitely agreed with you on one of those. But, Joe, we'll go to you first before I talk more.
Yeah, I don't. There's nobody. I actually had a little bit of trouble with this too, just because it's like I don't really hate any of them, but I'm not gonna reach for almost any of these players. Like if I can't get a VR or a Correa early on, then like all the guys kind of in the middle tier, I'm probably gonna just pass. But it's not. I'm not saying that I don't like think they're gonna be a bust or anything. It's just that I'm not gonna reach for them. Just whoever falls to me. I do agree with Nando with that. I don't trust Aledmys Diaz. He was actually the guy I was gonna say, and I kind of expected Nate to be like, oh no, this is. Reverse BABIP warp is 8.7 or what? You know, he always has weird stats.
You're such a dick.
Yeah, I know. Well, you were mean to me with my last pick. Jose Peraza is going to dominate this season.
Oh, I'm not done with him yet.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, him, I just don't trust him yet, I guess. And he's going as the ninth shortstop, so it's a little rich for my blood. And then, you know, D.D. Gregorius as like the... You know, he's just going ahead of some guys I would much rather have. When you're going ahead of Jed Jerko, like I can't see taking D.D. Gregorius over Jed Jerko. So two guys I will definitely not be drafting.
I kind of wanted to poke holes in D.D. Gregorius, but went back and looked, and I don't know, man. With that stadium and that lineup, I don't think he'll hit 20 again, but I wouldn't be surprised if he hit 16.
I have another reason to hate him, I guess. In 2015, I bet Nate, I took the over on 9.5 home runs. I'm like, he can hit 10 home runs. Like, I liked him that year. And he hit 9.
You're just a year early.
I'm just, yeah, I was a year early. I really was. And now, now I'm just, instead of being like, I'm in on him, now I'm going the other way. I'm like, I'm out.
Well, we do have something all in common, and that is that we all hate Aledmys Diaz, because that's the guy that I was going to go back to as well. He made my avoid list. I mean, the dude, he was a pull-heavy fly ball hitter, like a Jose Bautista or something, except he doesn't have Bautista power. You know, it's a batted ball profile that it's not... good for BABIP, essentially. Like when you hit all your balls in the air, not a lot of line drives. It's, you know, he hit 300 last year with an elevated BABIP. I wouldn't be surprised to see that batting average fall all the way to 260. And you know, if he struggles a little bit with that, there he could be demoted. So I mean, not demoted to AAA, but I mean down the lineup, he's probably going to hit second to start the season. You know, but I think if he ends up hitting 260 and he's maybe still hitting for a little bit of the power because he just is all about pulling the ball and trying to hit dingers, you know, that'll probably still be there, but he's not much for steals, and I don't think he's going to be as good as batting average. So, yeah, I definitely see him taking a turn for the worse. And Jose Peraza, come on, Joe.
What is your problem?
He doesn't even have Jose a job. Peraza?
He's a utility guy. He can he'll play most...
What's he going to give me, cable?
Perhaps. I don't know. I mean, all they need to do is make one. Like, can we all just agree that Brandon Phillips needs to go?
I think so.
Well, I think everyone but Brandon Phillips.
Yeah, he's the only one that's not on board with that.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. So maybe they just put him on the bench, but I mean, we've seen sort of how he takes criticism, and it's not great. So that
well,
would
it's
be...
a bit, like with that pick, it's like if you're looking at his overall ADP, you know, not good there. But I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. He's a 16th. He's going off the board in front of Dansby Swanson. Brandon
yeah, but
Crawford
that
doesn't have a job.
That wouldn't be the case if you were just going strictly off Yahoo. If you were going strictly Yahoo, he's going 140 picks later than that.
So
or
where,
whatever.
So where are the smart people being
picks
stupid?
Later than NFBC?
These real-time sports people, those are the experts. In the NFBC, they're supposed to be the sharps amongst the peasants. So,
yeah, but you're not going to be – most of your leagues that you're going to do are not going to be on NFBC. So I'm saying if once it get into your normal 10 and 12 team leagues with your friends, he's not going to be going that high.
NFBC has a lot –
they also draft super early too.
Yeah, it's early drafts, but you put a lot – I mean, to do a draft champions, $150. That's not –
yeah.
At least for me, when I do it, I'm like, this is $150. I'm not messing around.
Yeah, I know. I agree. But I mean, I'm saying at that price, I don't like him as much. But if he's going as a 276 player, then I think that there's a chance for some value there.
Right.
Yeah. He also never walks. And of course, I mean, Joe, we do have that in common. We both prefer guys that have the bigger walk rates. I mean, 2.7% walk rate. Blah.
Well, it's kind of low.
Yeah, it's kind of low. That's like John Segura, it's a couple of years low. Just, yeah. But he does make a lot of contact for what that's worth. Like, I think that once he has a job, I'll be more in on him, which maybe will be by midseason. We'll see. And he'll be sort of a second-half player. You know, in a lot of standard leagues, he's not a guy who you're going to draft anyway. You could probably just pick him up off the wire, you know, get some steals from him. That's what you're drafting him for anyway in a deeper league. I'm just not in on him at the 16th shortstop off the board. But, when we do the full preview, we're definitely going to put a bet on him. And
fair enough.
Brandon Crawford is the other guy. I just hate Brandon Crawford. He can suck it. So, I don't know.
Yeah, all right. Blog, the Brandon and Brandon blog.
What's that? The Brandon and Brandon blog?
Yeah, he wrote a blog with Brandon Belt, and they would like review movies and talk about the mundane life.
Are you kidding me?
On the road. It was in MLB blogs like at least 2 years ago. I haven't really checked up on it in the last couple of years.
Oh, boy. I bet they love Fifty really Shades of Grey.
Yeah, let's go check out and see if they have a 50 Shades of Grey review on there.
I hope so. But yeah, I mean, Crawford, you can get like the same, pretty much the same guy, I think, with Zach Cozart at 277, which is, you know, whatever, 50, almost 60 picks later. So I don't know. I just hate Brandon Crawford. He's stupid. So we're going to take a quick break with that negativity and come back with a little bit more positivity right after this. All right, we have returned and are on our very last segment here. We are going to take a look into the deepest of leagues and perhaps outline some prospects or some deep league guys that we really like and think that might make a little bit of an impact this year. So, Nando, this is sort of your wheelhouse. Who do you? Yeah. What yeah. kind of name have you unearthed for us?
You know what's weird? The shortstops, like, there's a huge drop off when you're looking at prospects. Like, not a lot of guys are ready. Like, you want to like someone like Gleyber Torres, but could be a couple years. Like, you want to like Ahmed Rosario, but he won't be up till September. And you go down and every shortstop is just too young and not ready yet, at least shortstop wise. Yeah. It's strange and interesting and disturbing.
Yeah, they're all up.
And then all my sleepers are like Jose Reyes. Like, I think he's going way too late, and I think he's going to have a great year. Yeah. So I'm really screwed up by the shortstop thing. Like, I don't have like a dude pegged who I want to love. Maybe Alan Hansen is the closest thing to that hybrid, but there's no one like I'm excited about that I'm kind of grabbing at. It's like, yeah, you know, in a dynasty league, these, you know, the big names are already taken. Maybe Ahmed Rosario is like the only dude who might not be of those biggish names. I don't know. I'm not depressed by it. It's just kind of. It's me up.
You sound a little depressed.
I want to like somebody. Like, I want to have that dude. You know, I've got him at different positions, and at shortstop, I could tell everybody get Jose Reyes. He's, you know, he's got more power than you think he does, and I don't know. I can get into that whole thing if you'd like later, but if you guys want to get in, you got some names first.
Yeah, I think Reyes is a good call. All it's going to take is the requisite 2 or 3 days for David Wright to get hurt, and he's going to be the everyday third baseman. So, I like that draft in a deeper league. So, Joe, what about you? You got any deep league names?
I got a guy for you. It's the homer pick, of course, of Jorge Polanco.
No, you took my guy!
You know, and I was actually worried somebody was going to say him even before this.
Damn it.
I mean, it just – a lot of people – are going to hate on the Twins now. The Twins suck, bad offense. But, you know, it should be the starting shortstop. As long as he doesn't crap the bed, he should play every day. And he might go 15-15. Like, that's probably pretty damn close to his upside. He was never really great in the minors. His best stolen base season in the minors was 18 steals only. Yeah, that was in 95 games. So, I mean, I don't think he's got a lot of upside. But, you know, I mean, you can get him for absolutely for free. So even, like, in a 15-team league or in an AL-only league, he'd be a guy that I would – maybe even be cool with as your starting shortstop if you're punting the position.
Oh, man. Breaking my heart.
I'm not to take us off shortstops. I think their offense, I think they got some hope.
Yeah, their offense was above average last year.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think their offense is going to be good. I mean, obviously their pitching is going to be garbage, and that's what's going to hold them back. But yeah, I think their offense is going to be good. And if Jorge Polanco, right now he's slated in by Roster Resource to hit second, and if he hits, and I think he will, he'll stick at first or second all year. You know, as long, well, I mean, if Buxton really breaks out, you might see him put towards the top of that lineup. But right now they have Dozier set to lead off, which I think is just ridiculous with the power that he showed last year. I don't know why you're not hitting him third or fourth. But, Polanco, 30% line drive rate last year. Very nice. Only 217 plate appearances. Like you said, Joe, not a ton of power or speed, but some. I comped him to like a Matt Duffy, year before last. Put up 12-12. You score 75 runs, 75 RBI, if he hits second all year.
Yeah, just like you're kind of getting he hasn't played a full season yet, but he's definitely not, like, there's plenty of guys going around him, like you said, that don't have jobs and are, minor leaguers go ahead of him and all that stuff. So, he's just a guy that's out there for free that you could take late, and I think he could be a serviceable, double-digit stolen base and home run guy at short.
Yeah, the only other guy that I had is J.P. Crawford with the Phillies. He might come up towards the end of the year, but I don't know how much I would exactly expect from him in his rookie year. Doesn't have like a ton of power or speed, but he could instantly be the best on-base guy on that team. So you can stash him in a deeper league, or if you have an extra bench spot, in a shallower league. But Bernardo, that's it, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, no problem. I'm sorry I didn't have a shortstop prospect for you.
No worries.
Quite all right.
You fight third base. If we would have done third base like originally, I would have had some names.
Well,
but
who would you have there?
I'm in love. Eugenio Suarez is like my favorite guy in the world right now.
Oh boy, there you go.
Joey Gallo is going to be on all my teams, like even 15 mixed.
Oh my!
I believe, and Chase Headley. Big time sleeper.
Chase Headley, a blast from the past.
I know. I never liked him. But, dude, his ADP is almost like 500.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at this point, everybody's owned Chase Headley, and they're kind of like done with the experience. But
that explains that ADP. Yeah.
Sometimes that's the time to draft a guy is when everybody's completely given up.
Exactly. It's perfect.
It is, yeah, and so are you, Nando. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you
for joining us today. So we can all find your work at the Fantasy Network?
Yeah, just FNTSY.com.
There you go. You can get your fix of Nando DeFino. All right, until next time, folks, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.